Welcome back to the show. We're kicking off part two with Sydney Taylor, who is an RN. She is a mom, she is a doula, and she's a student midwife. The last episode, the episode right before this one, is part one with Sydney, and she shares her birth story. And then, of course, her birth story naturally goes into how she got into birth work. So that's what we're starting this episode with. And then we start discussing just a lot of different things as two doulas do when you get two doulas together. But specifically what we're addressing is Donna's mission statement, or their, what's the other thing? Not a mission statement, but their vision statement. If you don't know who Donna is the probably the largest certification organization for doulas. And doulas like me, who are more like radical doulas who really support women and not the system, we don't agree with a lot of things that Donna requires their doulas to do. So like doulas who are associated with them have kind of like a code of conduct or a scope that they have to adhere to. And radical doulas say, nope, sorry, I support women and I don't follow rules by a system, by a corporation who makes money off women who want to become doulas. Okay, so this is really a big picture thing, but their vision statement or their mission statement, I'm not sure which one it is, Donna's mission statement is something along the lines of like a doula for every person who wants one. There's a couple things wrong with this. But the thing that Sydney and I are talking about in this episode is how a lot of doulas hear that statement and think that they have to support every single birth that comes their way. And that is just not true. And so this is what Sydney and I really get into in this episode. And we also uncover like how you can have the best experience with your doula by finding the right doula that is really in sync and aligned with you and what you want. So that's what we talk about. At one point in this episode, I start to say something and I got tripped up on my words and I got kind of sidetracked from what I wanted to say. So I wanted to say it real quick right here is a lot of times doulas kind of get in these arguments of, well, you should support this kind of birth and moms over here deserve support and moms over here deserve support. And we kind of get in these arguments where one doula believes that a doula should support everyone and the other doula is saying, no, I don't support births like that. I only support births like this, or I only do home births, or I only do epidural C-sections or something like that. And what happens is these doulas are arguing and we're kind of screaming the same thing at each other. We both want women to have the best support. So that was something I wanted to be sure you walked away from this episode with, is understanding that like when a doula like myself or Sydney say, you know what, you're not the best fit for me, I'm going to have to turn you down, I can't take you on as a client, it's not because we don't think you deserve support. We actually think you deserve the best support, and we know that we're not it. And if we were to take you on, we know that it wouldn't be the best experience for you because it wouldn't be the best fit for a doula client kind of relationship. So that, I just wanted to make sure that that was very clear as the message that came out of this episode. But let's get to the conversation. It's some good, you know, doulas talking shop. So let's get to part two with Sydney. This is not your average birth podcast because you are not the average mom. Welcome to Unapologetically Unmedicated. I'm your host, Fierce Lizzie, and I am unapologetic when it comes to normal, physiologic, unmedicated birth. I want you to have your best birth because I know that an empowered birth leads to an empowered motherhood. If you want to be the boss of your birth and do birth your way, it's time to get informed, educated, and empowered. And now Sydney knows about home birth, right? Because
yes,
obviously you're becoming a home birth midwife. But so after your hospital birth experience, you said that is what prompted you to become a doula. And I'm assuming like this is when you learned about home birth, right? So yeah. Talk a little bit about your journey into becoming a doula.
So I sat on that experience. I had him in September. And I sat on that experience like all through the holidays and just thinking like how incredible medical, an unmedicated birth is and how incredible it is to be a mom and like how transformative this is. And I really got thinking about the hospital. I just like could not, because I am so strong-willed and so prepared and like so type A that I was like, I cannot believe that I said yes to these things. And like, not that I was beating myself up about it, but I was like, I can't believe how easy it is to.
Do you think that you have a little bit or had a little bit of like people pleasing tendencies or
I don't know. I'm not typically a people pleaser. Like I don't, especially when it comes to like my health and wellness.
Right.
I've seen a naturopath for the last few years, like as an adult, and I don't know, paved the way type of personality. So I wasn't, right. I don't think it was that. I just think, I don't know. Like, I just didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm trying to focus. I'm in this. I'm doing well. I just, when they, you want to speed this up? Like, I don't know. Sure. Like, just get over
with it. Go away. Right. Like, yeah, I just want you to leave.
Pretty much. I don't think that's people pleasing, but like, I just didn't want to hear it and deal with it.
Yeah.
And so like the easiest way to get that to happen was just be like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I looked back and just kind of like beat myself up a little bit. Like, why did I say yes to that? Why did I say yes to that?
Mm-hmm.
And, it really was like, I don't want moms to ever have to explain themselves or fight that battle in a hospital setting or any setting, really. Unless there's immediate imminent danger to her or baby, you should not have to be like fighting and having these conversations, even if they're little ones, even if they're, like you said, like, do you want your bag of waters broke? That's not like really affecting me or baby, but it is throwing off my groove. You're interrupting me. And then that's how easy it is just to be like, yeah, sure. I don't want to hear your voice. Like, get out of my room. And then you say yes. And then that whole cascade of not coping well, offer a C-section, posterior baby coming out, bleeding too much. Like, that's how just that one little question that seemed really harmless is derailed everything, because I just didn't want to hear his voice because I was so focused. Get out of my room.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want moms to have to deal with that. So I thought, who better to walk moms through this journey in the hospital than someone who accidentally said yes to things she didn't want to say yes to.
Yep.
And I didn't really know where to start. So I literally Googled like how to become a doula. And of course, you know, like Dona shows up and Childbirth International and all like these certifying agencies. And I didn't want to pay $1,800 to, I don't know, give moms advice and walk them through pregnancy and postpartum. Yeah. It seemed, you know, counterintuitive to my whole, my whole being is like living as closely to the way God intended us and like how our ancestors once lived. Like, just that's what I do. And I was like, $1,800? I mean, our ancestors were all doulas and they weren't paying to get certified.
Yeah.
But my husband was like, you should at least get an LLC and like create a business name. And so I did do that. And I did go through like one measly little like online training course, not $1,800, but still, I don't even, looking back, I'm like, why did I even get that certification? That's so silly. People would have hired me anyway, regardless of my certification status. And again, I'm like, I'm a nurse. I don't know why I felt like I needed to get like this doula ticket, like, people were going to look for that. No one's looking for that. And that kind of kicked it off. And then I was just friends and family at first. And then once word of mouth is strong, especially in like northern Idaho, where you live in like a smaller town. Mm-hmm. So then it kind of just took off, and now that's what I do. And then student midwifery popped up for me. Just being in the birth world, you have opportunities like that.
Yep. Yeah, you start working with home birth midwives, and yeah, I totally get that. I have one question for you about certifying or doing trainings. What the certification program you did obviously wasn't super impactful. Like, you didn't feel like it served much of a purpose. And I feel that way too. I never finished mine, but I did pay for a program and then I decided not to complete it. What for you was the most impactful way to prepare for being a doula? Like, where do you think you got the most knowledge and expertise from?
100% doing it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Going through it. I know this is kind of controversial, but I know people say you can be a doula and you can be a midwife having not had a baby before. And
you can. Sure. Yeah.
You can. And same thing. Like, there's male OBs and there's male midwives. And I'm sure there are some great ones out there. I mean, Dr. Stu, he's great. But I just feel like you really don't fully grasp. You just don't how to support a woman and how just postpartum what they're going through. And you don't get it until you really go through it. You can try to sympathize and put yourself in their shoes and really try to imagine like the sensations they're feeling, but you can't really do that until you've been through it. So that was the number one biggest learning tool, is getting pregnant and having your baby.
Yeah. So many women don't give that enough credit. They're like, well, I don't have enough experience. And it's like, you've had 2-3 babies. Like, you've done it. Like, you have a lot more experience than you're giving yourself credit for. Yeah.
For sure. That's pretty much all you need. Not that you have to, because like I said, there's some awesome doulas who don't have kids yet, or maybe your sister acts as your doula, or your mom. Oh, I'll say your mom, but maybe your aunt who doesn't have kids yet. Yeah. She's your comfort. You have like lots of women in your life who maybe don't have children yet, but they're like a really great source of comfort to you. Yeah. And they massage your feet and they squeeze your hips and they set up your room and get the ambiance and advocate for you. That's a doula. And they have no training. They're just like your sister or your aunt or your best friend. So I don't think any certifying agency is going to teach you how to birth better than doing it yourself, or having like this really, really deep connection and love for another woman in your life. You're going to do anything a doula would do, like I said, for your sister or your aunt or whoever.
Yeah, because you already have that kind of connection there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're totally right. Because, like, I just think, like, when a mom is going through it, and she's, however she's going through it, I can't do this anymore, you know, cursing like a sailor, crying, you know, whatever it is, nobody else is in the room is feeling that. Like, there is no way to exactly even know what she is feeling. But the closest thing to it is having done it, you know? Yeah. And I just feel like it means a lot more. Those words of affirmation, the hair pets, and oh, you're doing so great. You know, it means a lot more coming from someone who has actually done it. Cause other, like, that's like when women get snippy with their husbands, like in birth, you know, and they get like irritated and rude and they're like, you did this and you never going to experience this. And yeah, like it's almost empty words a little bit coming from them. Sometimes.
I was just going to mention that, like, your husband or your partner probably loves you more than anyone else in the room. And like, their words of affirmation or like them helping you is still, it's not as meaningful as like someone who's been through it. You're like, oh no, you get it. You've pushed out a child before.
Yeah.
You know,
totally. Yeah. I like when the husbands stick with the affirmations, like, you're so beautiful. Like, oh, I love you.
Yes.
Like the ones that are really from the heart, that are true for them, you know, not necessarily maybe the, like, I don't know, some of the other ones.
Breathe.
Yeah. some of those other ones. I do like when the husbands do like the words of affirmation that are really like appreciative too of like the work that the woman is doing for both of them.
I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doing good job. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
you can't, no class or no certification is going to prepare you to sympathize or feel what that woman's feeling more than doing it yourself.
Yeah. I agree. And so do you only take home births then for your doula clients?
Home birth and birth center.
Okay. So no hospital births. You've done some hospital births though.
Yes. And I still will occasionally take a hospital birth if I have a unicorn client where I have vetted them thoroughly and I almost like I see myself where I'm like, they are so prepared. They are hiring a doula. They're doing the things. And maybe it's just a matter of finance for them. Because I know that is for a lot of people where they look at home birth and it's like $4,000 or $5,000 and their hospital birth's like $500.
Mm-hmm.
If a client comes to me and says, you know what, I really wanted a home birth or I really wanted a birth center birth and I want a doula and I'm learning all these different things and I'm preparing and how much Nora should I drink and what about the dates? And they come to me with that attitude. I am much more likely to accept them as a hospital client than I am the first time mom or even the second, third time mom who's just like, yeah, I would like a doula there. I don't know. I've never had a doula before, but I'm just planning a hospital birth and I might get the epidural. I've had the epidural before. I don't know. Like that to me, I probably will not take you on as a client.
And this is a little controversial in the birth worker world. And I have gotten some heat for similar sentiments. I say the same, like, I don't want to take clients who are planning on getting the epidural, who are okay with being induced. And I don't know, some of the negative things. And I think this comes a little bit, this comes from the doula certification program, specifically thinking of like DONA and their mission statement is like a doula for every person who wants one. And I feel like the birth workers have taken that to mean that like they have to serve everybody to be a good doula. And I just could not disagree with that more for so many reasons. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah. I cannot get on board with DONA's statement at all. There is something very powerful about inviting another person, a stranger, into your birth space. And I personally think it's really important to know like who they are, like as a person, their core values, like who is this person in the room and why are they in the room? Any person in your birthing space should have a reason as to why they're being there. And I just, if you're not a good fit, you know, it's just, you can create like some weird static between
tension.
And
you're a mom is not going to get the best support from the wrong fit.
Yes.
Like, there definitely is a doula for every woman, but not it's not always the right match. Right.
Yeah. So like me, for example, if I had a DONA certified doula who has been to a ton of C-sections and a ton of inductions and is just really, we're not on the same birth philosophy realm at all. Maybe they're like, oh yeah, go ahead, take some Tylenol for your headache. Or like, I don't take Tylenol.
I don't either. We don't even have it.
I don't take Tylenol. I don't take Tylenol ever. I definitely don't take Tylenol in pregnancy. Like, why is this doula offering this to me? You know, or I text her and they say, hey, yeah, I think my bag of waters may have ruptured. And she's like, yeah, go in and, go in immediately and go get checked, or like that is just not a great fit for me. And I'd feel like I'm wasting my money on this woman. Like we're not even on the same page with anything, and not just birth, but like, how I run my household and what toxins I allow in my household. And that stuff matters. Like it shouldn't matter, but it does. Like who they are really, really matters.
Yeah. And just, I wouldn't want a doula for myself either, who was routine intervention, like, okay with all of those, because mm-hmm. I want a doula that's going to tell me when, like the two examples that you had where the OB was really pushy. Like I want the doula who doesn't say, oh yeah, that's fine, that's what they do for everybody. I want the doula that says, actually, remember that your options are this, this, and that, and you can say this, that, or the other thing, you know? And that's, how do you get that if not, if your values aren't aligned?
For sure. Yeah. And so I think it goes beyond, you can say, well, they support natural births too.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But do they really?
Yeah.
Like at their core, if they're offering me Tylenol and telling me, oh yeah, it's okay, they just do cervical checks, or they need to do this monitoring, or are they really supporting a physiological birth? I know they can.
Right.
And they say, oh yeah, I support C-sections, I support inductions, I support natural births, I support home births, I support hospital births. They say this, but like, if it's not, if they're offering, I don't even know, like even the slightest little stuff, if they're like, here, drink this Gatorade so you don't get dehydrated. Girl, I am not drinking the fruit punch red Gatorade in my labor. Like I'm not doing it. So it's just not a good fit. And you wouldn't know that unless you like thoroughly vetted their personality before hiring them.
I'm just laughing. Like, I'm just taking notes. Things to ask a doula. What is your favorite form of hydration during labor?
No, seriously. Or like versus the real crunchy doula who's like super radical and is like, here's this coconut water. I sprinkled some Redmond salt in it. I'd be like, oh, thank you. You know what I mean? So it really, like, if you want genuine care designed specifically for you and your pregnancy and your baby with your values in mind, you have to know your doula and hire the mm-hmm. one that fits you.
Yeah. And exactly. You hit the nail on the head right there. Not to say that you wouldn't get a level of support. You'd still get some counter pressure. You'd still get some words of affirmation.
For sure.
But if you want it to be like that seamless, where you don't have to question what that other, you don't have to run anything that doula says through your filter to be sure it's the right fit. Like that's what you need in labor, because your logical brain is not working in labor. You don't have time to, you need your doula to be your brain in labor. Yep. And so, yeah, you don't want someone that you have to coach to be your doula, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's something you should not take lightly when hiring. And as a doula, same thing. You are not going to give a client the care you want, or like the care, the standard you hold for yourself as a doula, being super supportive and just being like that catch-all basket for her. You're not going to be giving her that if you are on like polar end spectrum. Like if I get a client who's like, oh yeah, I'm going in for this elective induction or this elective C-section, and can you make sure my eyelashes and hair look really good before my photographer gets there? I can do that.
Yeah.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm not built for this. Like, I'm not probably going to do it to what your standard or like how you envision this whole process going better than the doula who takes nothing but C-section clients all day long. So like, she's going to know that whole process way better than I am. I'm going to be like a fish out of water, and I can do it, but I'm not going to do it the way you want me to.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a good point, because I think some of the arguments that birth workers get into, where they're kind of yelling from both sides, and then typically those arguments happen and we're actually both yelling kind of like the same thing. But in the example that you just gave, oh my gosh, I totally lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? I was going to say, when they're like, oh, you're like, I don't agree with scheduled inductions. Like, I just don't agree with them. I do not want to support a mom who agrees to an induction. And they hear moms that have scheduled inductions don't deserve support. That's what they hear. And I just think that is so wrong. So just like you said, I would do the eyelashes for her, but it's not my area of expertise. One, look at my eye. I have no eyelashes on. Okay. I have no eyelashes. Not my area of expertise, nor is it why I do this work.
Yeah. But it's not at, like you said, birth work fills my cup, seeing the struggle and the reward, where moms are like, I can't do this. And then they do it. That is just like worth all the hours.
Yeah.
All the time away from my family and my baby. It's just like walking someone through that is just, it's worth it for me.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a scheduled induction and you know, like I know things are going to go topsy-turvy probably. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be there for 3 days. And I'm charging like bare bones because I do this as a labor of love, not for like my job. I'm a nurse. So like, I just do this because it's a passion of mine. And I get there and I'm like, not charged enough. And it's been 3 days and this woman's accepting every single intervention and like, doesn't know any of the risks involved, doesn't know what she's getting herself into. And I try to educate her and she says, yeah, I don't care. You know, I'm just, let's get this baby out. That is so frustrating. And I know you know what I'm saying. I don't mean to come off as like insensitive, but it is so frustrating for my personality to hear mothers like this and then spend time away from my family and basically lose money to be here and go through this like experience. Resentful is a really strong word, but I really end up resenting the situation.
And resenting the profession. Like, this is how a lot of doulas get burnt out and end up leaving birth work, is situations like this.
Like, I'm always happy bringing new life into the world. And I'm always happy, like, for a mom to become a new mom. That's great. But it is so, so frustrating. And I resent the situation. I resent even taking on this client. I resent, like, it just builds up. And then exactly, you burn out and you're like, I can't do this anymore. And then there's one less mom being supported because you're done. You're just done dealing with it. And being picky and choosy.
Yeah. And I think there's probably a good analogy there too, where you hire someone that has a toolkit of things. I can't think of anything right now, but like I love analogies, but it's not coming to my brain right now. But you're hiring someone with a specific skill set and a set of tools, and you're hiring them to come in and remodel your kitchen, but then they get there and you want them to decorate your living room, you know, like it's just, of course that person, you know, the professional is going to resent that. Like, they are not excited to do that. That's not necessarily their area.
I don't really want to do this.
Yeah. I agree. And I'll also add, when doulas go to births in the hospital that are routine, everything's routine, the routine induction, all the cervical checks, the epidural, there's so much trauma for both. And actually, I almost want to say sometimes there's more trauma for the doula when they know it's not supposed to be like that. And then now we have to go home and process that. And I mean, I've left a birth before where I wondered, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Like, I felt didn't feel good after, you know? So again, leading to the burnout. And
it is, it's really, because a lot of Jews will be like, well, it's not about you. It's about the mom. Or it's not ever about you. Leave your feelings aside. It's about her. But that is so nuanced, in my opinion, because if you're burned out, there's one less supported mom. And not that you can't accept everybody, but you're going to be unhappy. And like the people that you're hiring, or the people that hired you, are not going to be happy or think they get their money's worth if it's not exactly, like you said, seamless. If it's not seamless, they're going to be like, wow, it was really not worth it to have a doula. Whereas if you did click with that client and it was seamless, they'd be like, worth their weight in gold. I would hire a thousand of them. And you hear that. So
you hear both.
Yes. I think when we hear from women who are like, oh yeah, I had a doula and it was fine. Like, I think they were a bad match. Mm-hmm. And so when people say, oh, it's not about you, it's not about your feelings, it's not about your past traumas or your past births, like, don't bring that into the equation. You should be a professional. No, do bring it into the equation. Your feelings as a doula matter a ton. Your experiences, your personal birth experiences matter a ton. Your personal birth traumas matter a ton. Do you need to weigh down your clients with that? No, but it gives you that connection point where you connect and have that, like, oh, she's my girl. She had a posterior baby, or she said yes to Pitocin and didn't want to. Like, it gives you that common ground where you guys can be that seamless team. Whereas if you have no idea who your doula is, you didn't ask about her births, you didn't ask about any traumas she's had or any trials and triumphs she had to get through. If you don't ask her those questions and you have no idea who she is, then you might be the seamless team, but you might not. And then it's just a bad connection for both of you. Mm-hmm. So I think there's value in kind of laying all your cards out on the table, all your biases, all your traumas, all your past births, like, lay it out there, and they're either going to love you and hire you and you're going to be a great team, or they might see those biases and they might see that your past births were all C-sections and you've never had a natural birth before, and they might be like, ooh, you know, maybe she isn't the doula for me. But it's important either way. So lay it all out there for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And like, moms, don't be afraid to ask all those questions, because they are way more important than the question, like, where did you certify at?
You know? For sure. Don't ask that one. Ask about like her past births or her birth stories. Ask those. No one cares about the certification. You shouldn't care about the certifications.
No. Not at all.
Not at all.
Any last words of advice or wisdom or any messages that you wanted to share before we wrap up the show?
For doulas, I think the biggest thing you should take away is don't be afraid to show your bias or your personal birth experiences have value. Your philosophies and how you view birth has value. You don't need to be this like cookie cutter, mass produced, certified, like stamp and send off type of doula. Mm-hmm. You can be picky and choosy, and it can benefit both you and the mom. And there's no, you know, there's no hiccups between it. And people get really riled up about the, like, you're a professional, you should never influence someone one way or another when they're hiring you. But I could not disagree more. I think connecting with like-minded people is just a better experience all around for the hire and the hiree.
And when you lay all those cards on the table, like you said, you actually end up finding more of your ideal clients. And because I think a lot of newer doulas are afraid to do that. They're afraid to turn away clients. They're afraid to let their biases be known because they, you know, in the beginning, it's like, I just need some clients, you know, but you actually will find more and more, the more honest you are and the type of support that you give with that good match is unprecedented. And they go tell their friends that are like-minded and you actually will be booked out like Sydney.
Yes.
Is having to turn away clients now.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really good point. The more honest you are about who you are and what you value, you're going to attract those type of people and you're going to repel the people that disagree with you. And you're not going to have to sift through all these consults. And you know what? Another thing that's really like not talked about a lot is the time doulas put into like consultations. My consultations are free. I don't know about other doulas in the area, but like hours, hours and hours and hours of consults. And if you kind of just like throw yourself out there and say, this is what I do, this is what I support, this is who I am, you're going to take away like 50% of the moms who are not aligning with you. And you're not going to be wasting your time away from your family and not making any money. And you're just going to cut that whole aspect out. So it's, I don't think, ever a bad thing to just let everyone know who you are and what you offer and what you prefer. I prefer not to take epidural clients. I prefer not to take induction clients. Not saying that none of my clients get epidurals, though, knock on wood, none of them have. But I think time and place, it's never black and white. You know, if I have a mom that's been with me for 8 months and she's been laboring for like 72 hours and put in all the work and tried so hard and she goes in and gets an epidural at the last minute because she had to, what am I going to do? Walk out? No. Right. Of course not. I've built that relationship with her. We're probably really good friends by now because, like I said, I don't take people that I don't click with. So I probably consider her a good friend. I've been with her for 8 months. Like, I'm going to be so proud of her for choosing the empowering choice and trying all her options and putting in the good fight. And she's going to be like happy with her experience with me.
Yeah.
Because I've been with her all, supporting her all this way along. So like, it doesn't mean never black and white.
Right.
It's never, that's not what we're saying. But just when she hired me, she knew that I don't like taking epidural clients and I don't like taking induction clients. And that was never her goal in the first place. So I think that's a big difference there between the two.
And what a good like insurance policy to have the doula that's not going to be just suggesting maybe we should go get the epidural at 24 hours, you know, at 30 hours. Right. So exactly. Again, just it's beneficial to both parties.
For sure.
Well, I think I'll probably just, hey, thanks for hanging out with me today on the podcast. If this episode gave you confidence in being more unapologetic, if you felt more empowered from listening to the show, it would mean so much if you took just 30 seconds to leave a rating and review. This is how we can get the show out to more moms who need it so that they can join us in the Empowered Moms Club too. I'll be back again with another episode in just a couple days. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss a thing. Until then, stay fierce, friend.